What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Wednesday, April 18th, 2018, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Pauhana Friday, and wondering what insanity is in store for us over the coming weekend, like we had last weekend, obvious here. All right, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. And getting on into it, more and more people are stepping forward to say they're not buying the claim of a chemical attack in Douma. The story just didn't make any sense. It never did. It was not going to get Assad anything. Attacking children certainly was going to work against him. The story just didn't make any sense whatsoever. And more people are starting to say there wasn't even a chemical attack at all. Apparently, according to one of the doctors who was treating the children, the problem was they were hiding from attacks down in basements and tunnels that were filled with trash and dust, and there was a high wind, and so the dust was in the air, and these kids were basically dealing with dust inhalation. Now, that actually makes sense when you look at the video of them being rinsed off with a hose, because that's something appropriate to dust contamination, certainly would be inappropriate to a chemical weapons attack. It explains why the people tending to the children weren't wearing plastic gloves or anything like that. And it also explains the inhalers to try and get their lungs free of the dust and irritation as well. So Tucker Carlson interviewed Peter Ford, who's a retired British diplomat, basically came on out saying that nobody can confirm there was a chemical attack. There are now reporters on the ground in Douma, and they're unable to find any witnesses to a chemical attack. They're unable to find any doctors who treated anybody who was a victim of a chemical attack. And it looks like the White Helmets just grabbed this tape of the kids being treated and said, chemical attack, and everybody hit the war button. And even Western media is now starting to say that there was no attack, and that includes The Independent, which is publishing the articles of Robert Fisk, and Agent France Press is also coming on up and starting to report that there was no chemical attack at all. There's even an independent journalist, Pearson Sharp, is in Douma, and he's looking for evidence of a chemical attack, and everybody he's talked to deny there was any kind of an attack. And they're saying it's all a claim to help the rebels escape. So there we are. Now, getting on back to Robert Fisk, his report rips away all excuses for an airstrike on Syria. And even if there had been some kind of a gas attack, it doesn't justify military intervention any more than the U.S. government's gassing of that church full of women and children in Waco, Texas, justifies Canada coming down and bombing our country. It doesn't make any sense here. But without that chemical attack, it's just an act of naked aggression. And we know that the targets that were hit were not, in fact, chemical weapons facilities, because otherwise there would have been tens of thousands of victims of the toxins released by the bombing. That didn't happen either. It's all a fake. It's Saddam's nukes all over again. Fool me once, so forth and so on here. Ben Swan's reality check is out there saying that lies are being used to justify the U.S. airstrikes on Syria. The warmongers want to turn it around. They don't want to lose in Syria because that will basically kill the momentum they've built up with all these other wars over the last 18 years. We're on a roll. We're on our way to Iran. We're on our way to Russia and China and North Korea. We can't stop now. Or so goes the thinking. Over in France, Marine Le Pen is openly criticizing the French strike on Syria. And she's reminding everybody about Colin Powell's little glass tube of talcum powder that he showed to the United Nations and said, this is some of Saddam's anthrax. Oops, almost dropped it. Made you look. Now, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons head is saying that there is a UN security team that is trying to basically get into the area of Douma where this attack supposedly happened. They're being shot at. And the UN security team is trying to get the area cleared out so the scientists can go to work. And they've sent in basically a reconnaissance team, but they've come under fire from small arms and even an explosive. Kind of maybe, you know, obviously somebody doesn't want that team to get in there, at least until evidence can be planted to frame Assad. And I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to keep the scientists out of there long enough for somebody to go on in and spread some chemicals around and say, see, see, we were right all along. And it doesn't really matter if that happens, because the rationale behind this claim doesn't make sense. That's what you have to keep the focus on. Assad is winning the war. He doesn't need to use chemical weapons, which he doesn't actually have anyway. And Friday night's bombing proved it. Those so-called chemical weapons facilities did not have chemical weapons, or a lot of people around them would have been killed by the release of those toxic materials. This is a classic false flag. Classic. Who benefits? The war hawks benefit. They want to go back into Syria. They need an excuse to get the American people on board. Apparently, according to polls, it's not working. We've all been lied to so much that we're just refusing to believe. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining the network. We're talking about the Great Syria Deception. And as we mentioned the other day, Russian troops found a stockpile of chemical weapon precursors in Douma in a terrorist base that had been abandoned by the troops. Apparently, it's been updated now. They also found the uniforms of members of the White Helmets organizations. And apparently some of the vehicles had license plates registered in Saudi Arabia. Every time they actually find chemical weapons in Syria, it's always connected to Syria's enemies, the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, not to Syria itself. Remember, Syria gave up their chemical weapons under that Russian brokered deal. And every one of these so-called chemical weapons attack that's happened since then is a false flag. And again, Assad is winning. Trump was talking about leaving Syria just a few weeks ago. That's a tacit admission of defeat. Assad didn't need to use a chemical weapon, and he's certainly not going to use them on children. The claim just doesn't make any sense at all. Now, in other parts of Syria, the Syrian army advances in Rostan, and apparently they've reached a deal with the militants in Dumayr, who are basically surrendering their heavy and medium weapons, and about 1,000 of the militants and their associates and family are going to withdraw from the area, and the rest are basically going to take advantage of the amnesty program and go back to just being Syrians. Now, over in al-Damar, the Jaish al-Islam are continuing to hand over their weapons, getting ready to leave for Jarablus. So the war is all but over. Assad has won. And powerful forces in the U.S. and Israel don't want that. Israel wants to keep that Golan Heights. If the war ends and the U.S. has to pull out, Syria is going to come after the Golan because they're going to need that revenue from that oil and gas under the Golan to help rebuild all the damage that's been done, especially to places like Raqqa. They've just been bombed into rubble by the United States. Now, there's been a shelling attack on the neighborhoods of Al-Zahira, Al-Jadeda, and Bustan al-Dur in Damascus, and it caused only material damage, no casualties reported. The U.S. is claiming they had nothing to do with it. Israel refuses to comment. The prevailing theory is that the U.S.-backed militants have somehow acquired their own missiles for ground-to-ground attack, and they're starting to use them. Story out of Sana'a really tells the tale. It's talking about what happened in Raqqa and basically says, you just need to look at Raqqa to see the utter barbarity of the U.S.-led coalition in Syria. And they're talking about, you know, hundreds of civilians, innocent civilians have been killed using all kinds of weapons, including incendiary weapons, white phosphorus, which is illegal. So if you want to look for somebody who's using chemical weapons, there's an example right there, because technically a white phosphorus round is a chemical weapon. Meanwhile, over in northeastern Syria, the Syrian army has uncovered a mass grave in Raqqa countryside with over 150 bodies believed to be executed by ISIS. And in the meantime, they also found a large workshop of Jaish al-Islam in Douma that was used for making mortar shells. They're finding all these factories and everything that are being used to make all these weapons to kill people with. Now, the U.S. is trying to figure out some way they can justify remaining in Syria. Right now, the U.S. just coincidentally happens to be occupying the part of Syria where all the oil and gas and most of the water is located. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, of course. But they don't want to give that up any more than Israel wants to give up the Golan. And that's why they've come up with this cock and bull story about a gas attack in Douma targeting children, even though it makes absolutely no sense. And that's their lie, and they're sticking with it. And it's rather amazing to start to see on corporate media where they're literally out there trying to shame people who question that. You know, you dare question the government and the corporate media. Shame on you. What's wrong with you? If you're a true patriot, you'll believe what we tell you. Now, of course, people in Syria will tell you this was never a civil war. They love Assad. This was a covert proxy terrorist invasion of their country. There never was a popular uprising back then, but there is one now. The people in a region of southern Idlib are rising up against Tahrir al-Sham Hayat, which used to be called al-Nusra. And apparently the terrorist group there abducted several locals, and that was the last straw. The people in the town are engaged in heavy fighting with the terrorist group. They've had enough of this nonsense. As far as Trump's promises to pull U.S. troops out of Syria, the U.S. is going to set up yet another military base in eastern Deir ez-Zor, not far from ISIS' last major stronghold in Syria, which was crushed by the Syrian army back in November, shortly before they declared victory against ISIS in general. And yes, the region is rich in oil. That's the prize. The U.S. doesn't want to give up that territory. They want to break Syria in pieces. They want to give one of the pieces to the Kurds. They want to break off the Golan and let Israel have that. And they want to break off the chunk they're sitting on because they want that oil and gas. It's all about greed. Apparently, a missile attack is reported on two Syrian army targets at the Homs military airbase. It's suspected that it's rebels directed by what's politely called a third party. Israel is still talking tough about escalating the war. The IDF says they're preparing for Iranian retaliation in the air, abroad, or through a cyber attack for Israel's attack on the Iranian personnel in Syria. So Israel's out there thumping their chest and saying, we're ready for you. Bring it on. Give it your best shot. Iran, of course, not being a warlike nation so far, hasn't done much of anything, but I don't know how long that is going to last. Israel, however, is very concerned about a direct attack from Iran, and so they've canceled plans to take part in an international exercise, and they're keeping their F-15 jets in Israel on alert. ready to go if something should happen. Israel is hinting they may still attack Iranian air forces in Syria. So, again, forget about all the talk about this is a threat, that's a threat, they've got chemical weapons, Saddam has nukes and everything. Look at who is doing the attacking and the invading. And that will tell you who the aggressors really are. Now, Erdogan and Rouhani agreed to maintain Turkish, Iranian, and Russian cooperation in Syria. So that little coalition is holding together as well. Now, the last Friday's attack, 105 munitions, most of them Tomahawks, other standoff-launched air-to-ground missiles, 71 interceptions using 30-year-old technology, radars, book missiles, some S-200s. And now Lavrov is saying that Russia is considering of upgrading Syria's air defenses to the S-300. They're saying after Trump's attack, they have to explore all options to defend Syria. So Syria may soon have those S-300s. Let's take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, they might just have them because I got unverified report of them coming off of those ships. It's S-300 PMU-2s. And
okay.
There was a smoke, and then there was supposedly a smoke screen cover that they used while they're offloading. So, but this is unverified right now, so keep that. You know, take that with a grain of salt.
I would not be surprised. I would not be at all surprised that Russia is probably deploying much better weapons into Syria, and the next time the U.S. or Israel tries to go on in there, it's going to get really ugly. The only reason that Russia didn't respond on Friday is that the U.S. intentionally steered clear of areas where Russia is operating. Basically, what they did is they picked out five different buildings, which appear to have not really been important to anything. And because they were not defended, so they thought it was going to be a spectacular strike. But as it turned out, the air defenses in the area did take down 71 of the 105 munitions. We know that the largest of these facilities, where it was claimed they were loading chemical weapons into artillery shells, it's a pharmacy. It's a compounding pharmacy. They're developing new cancer drugs because Syria cannot buy cancer drugs because of the sanctions. So they're inventing their own. Apparently, they also make anti-venom medications for snakes and scorpions and stuff. This is a replay of when Bill Clinton bombed that aspirin factory in Sudan to distract the media from Monica Lewinsky.
You think Donald Trump's going to get a lawsuit from the person who owned the company who owned the pharmaceutical plant?
I hope so. I hope so. I hope the owners of all these buildings sue the United States government and say, you had no justification to destroy my private property. And they can cite that Sudanese aspirin factory as the legal precedent because the owners of that factory, they won their lawsuit, which means you, the American taxpayer, not only got to pay for those cruise missiles, you got to pay to rebuild the aspirin factory.
And Mike, did you hear about the British sub that was followed by the two Russian diesel subs? They were tracking it.
So yeah, they know where they are. And it's apparently the submarine is the latest updated Kilo class. Now the Russians have been building the Kilo class for 30 years. It's a very rugged, robust, reliable design, and it's called the Black Hole because it's almost impossible to find. And so this Royal Navy Astute-class submarine was being chased around the Mediterranean by two of the Kilos, supported by two frigates and one anti-submarine aircraft. And I imagine the game is still going on. It's going to be a hold-down exercise. Dustin, stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you after the commercial break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Dustin in New Jersey, and we're talking about this little game of cat and mouse that's going on in the Mediterranean with the Russians as the cat and a British astute-class submarine apparently as the mouse. Now, I was talking the other day about hold-down games. The astute is nuclear-powered, which means it can stay down for a considerable amount of time. But the idea is to simply shatter the confidence of the command crew. The astute class is supposed to be a stealthy submarine, but because it's nuclear powered, it does have that weakness. Those reactors make noise, and it's very, very hard to contain that. And the Kilo class submarines are diesel electric. When they're running on their electric motors and their batteries, they're absolutely silent. And I'm sure they're out there listening for that little tea kettle that's ticking away in the middle of the British submarine. And so the British submarine may have the advantage in endurance, but the Russians have the advantage in terms of the actual tactical situation. They can see the astute before the astute can see them. Okay, apparently we lost Dustin. That's a shame. All righty. So, speaking of submarines, there was a Virginia-class submarine, the USS John Warner, that took part in last Friday's attack on Syria. And because of that, the city of Naples, Italy, is now saying they're no longer welcome in that port. Apparently, Naples some years ago passed a law banning ships, military vehicles with nuclear weapons, and it wasn't really being enforced. But because of what happened in Syria, they're enforcing it now. So the John Warner's going to have to find another port, and there's plenty of them around there. It's a diplomatic slap in the face. It's not really a significant inconvenience for the John Warner. Major protests over at Westminster in Great Britain, huge anti-war protests saying we are not America's lapdog and condemning Theresa May's decision to send in the British military into Syria. And some of them are saying she should have consulted Parliament. Others are just saying it was flat out wrong to do it in the first place. And they're right. It was. Now, Britain is finally admitting that the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons did not confirm the origin of the poison used on the Skripals. Supposedly, they confirmed there was Novichok, and everybody said, oh, well, has to be Russian. It's a Russian-sounding name. But remember that independent Swiss lab that was working with OPCW discovered that the samples also contained BZ toxin, which is a powerful hallucinogen, was developed as a battlefield drug to make soldiers more aggressive, and it backfired. The soldiers turned on each other. But it's not made in Russia. It's made in Great Britain, and it's made in the United States. Okay, let's take another phone call here. Laura in Michigan, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I was just going to say, don't get panicked about these Russian submarines and everything following the Navy ships. My husband was in the Navy, and he said, and during Vietnam, they did this all the time. They played hide and seek with the subs. And then even one time he said they were refueling at sea. They had the lines across two ships because they were refueling, and a Russian ship came right in between the two ships. So he said his captain turned the turret around and lowered the guns. He wasn't going to shoot them, but scared the hell out of them. And that Russian ship backed right out.
Yeah, they do tend to play these games a lot. It's basically a way of improving your skills against the real enemy. And you just hope that nobody makes an actual mistake. But there have been times when U.S. submarines have been caught on espionage missions inside Russian territorial waters. And then the hold down game gets a little bit more brutal because the commanders of the U.S. subs know they can't surface and surrender or it becomes an international incident. And so there have been quite a few of those. Every once in a while, these things run into each other. Back when the Kursk was rammed and sunk, I put together a whole collection of all these accidents that happen, from submarines following too closely to ships, and the ship makes a sudden move, and the submarine runs right into the ship's screws or the skegs. So it's a very dangerous thing, but yes, it does happen all the time.
I couldn't believe when he said the ship actually came right in between two ships refueling. They would have the nerve to do that. That's an accident waiting to happen, you know?
Yeah, well, at least it didn't actually happen, unlike what happened with those Navy ships that hit those tankers and cargo ships out here in the Pacific. Anyway, Laura, we got to take another break for commercials, so I'm going to let you go. And when we come on back, more about Syria, more about the insanity of war, more about, well, whatever we've got to talk about today. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And it looks like we got Dustin back on the line. We kind of lost you a little while ago. So welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I had another question. But I wanted to also say, I think the Typhoons are the best subs. Like, they only have one left, I believe, of the Typhoon. One or two. Of the, yeah, that was the extremely large one. It was like, what?
I remember studying those things. It was actually two deltas welded together, and then they put a combing over it. But it was very, very huge, very impressive, about the size of a World War II aircraft carrier. It actually had very nice amenities for the sailors. It even had a swimming pool. It wasn't very big, but you could do a little dive off the edge and do laps on the thing. So you do have to take care of the crews on the submarines, especially the boomers. They're out there for 3 months, they're going to go wacko if they got hobbies and movies and entertainment and stuff. I remember one time there was a U.S. Ohio-class submarine that had to put in here at Pearl Harbor because it had had some kind of a mechanical problem. On patrol. Normally, the Ohio class don't come in here, and they're classed as SSBNs, which is supposed to be submarine nuclear ballistic missile. But the sailors all say it stands for Saturdays, Sundays, and a bunch of nights because of how hard they have to work to keep the things running. But Claire and I were down in Pearl Harbor. We were on an Aegis ship. This was Christmas several years ago. And we were there as part of a choir that was singing to the sailors on the ship as part of their celebration. And I just happened to look on over, and there was this Ohio class, and it was huge. Just absolutely huge. And, you know, when I think of submarines, I've only ever been on board two submarines. One is the Baleo class that's a part of a museum exhibit at Pearl Harbor. We also used it as a location for Lost. And when I was down in Sydney, they had an old Soviet Foxtrot that was a tourist attraction. So feeling the Tom Clancy in me, I crawled around that one for a while. But I hate the idea of war and the nuclear weapons, but they do build some pretty amazing stuff when it works.
You just didn't want to be on the Kursk when that happened because they all ran to the other side of the sub and they still didn't make it. You know, that's not one way I want to die, Mike, you know, going that way. You know, like
well, what happened with the Kursk is this was when the U.S. and Russia were first starting to move together, and the Kursk was doing exercises. And apparently, as the story goes, there was a U.S. sub spying on them, and they collided. And it was decided at the highest levels of both the Russian and U.S. government not to admit to that because it would have had the Russian hardliners saying, see, you can't trust the Americans. And that's why the Kursk was left on the bottom until the crew suffocated. And when they finally brought the Kursk up, they first cut off the bow where the collision had occurred so that nobody could see the evidence about what actually happened.
Wasn't that a Typhoon class, I believe, right? I think.
No. I think it was its own class. I think it was the lead boat. I'll have to look up that article that I did.
You know, the Typhoon had two reactors on it, I believe, too.
Yes, it
did. That's crazy. Yeah, that's. Hey, Mike, on my next question, did you hear a report about, like, it's on Zero Hedge right now. I don't know if Trump and Putin made a deal or something. Did you hear anything about that yet?
No, I hadn't. I want to back on up. The Kursk was an Oscar II class submarine.
Okay.
A cruise missile sub. Anyway, tell me again about this deal with Putin again that you're reporting.
It's just saying, it's just like some kind of breaking news where Putin's going to give some concessions or something, which I don't know why he would, unless this has something to do with Nikki Haley's comment about putting more sanctions on, and then Larry Kudlow coming out and say, no. Because then I read another Zero Hedge report about them switching over to the non-SWIFT system. And then Larry Kudlow comes out, you know, and says, no. You know, Nikki Haley and him had the words. I don't know if that's a ruse, but so there's some kind of back channels going on, you know. We're going to have to wait till the next couple of days. And, you know, Mike, this kind of creeps me out because, you know, the inspectors are supposed to be there and the people come out and shooting it up to scare them to not come over there. That could be a delay tactic for something else coming, too. So you got to think about that. Yeah?
Well,
you know,
Well, I think the U.S. is delaying in Duma, I think, because they want to get in there and plant some evidence. But it's not going to convince anybody because the original claim that Assad, on the verge of winning his war, decided to deploy chemical weapons against children, it just doesn't make any sense, and it never really did. I haven't seen anything about Russia making any concessions. I would have to wonder about that because right now Putin has the upper hand over Trump because of this fiasco last Friday night.
Yeah, it was on Zero Hedge, but I'm like, you know, yeah, Putin's hold the cards. You know, him and China, like the Russians and China, they have the upper hand. You know, I mean, people don't realize, like, I mean, if we put sanctions on them, they're not getting no more rocket engines than titanium. So Boeing's going to get crushed, right?
Yes.
There goes the F-35 probably. That has titanium in it.
I mean, the F-35 is mostly composites.
Oh, I think maybe it's the F-22 then, no?
I don't know how much titanium is in the F-22, yeah. But all the modern aircraft, I mean, going back to the B-2, they're mostly composites. A lot of this came out of Bert Rutan's design shop up there in the Mojave.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Have a good show.
All right, thanks. We're going to switch over to Mike in Chicago. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Well, first of all, America should be grateful that they have things that they take for granted, namely that they have jobs, that they could, I'd hate to say flush a toilet, food that's available, and, transportation and all that. That's number one. And number two, there's something called a black swan event. And what a black swan event is, and stop me if I'm wrong, it's an event that is unforeseen because we take things for granted, like paying back debt or borrowing money or having a job or food on the table or flushing that toilet in the bathroom. Once a black swan event comes that was unanticipated, those things could be taken away from us. And here's the second point. Are we prepared? All right. We should have patience and always be vigilant that a black swan event could occur. For example, I look at prices every day, and I have a mentor that teaches me about pricing and stuff like that. And he mentioned, he's 83 years old. I really learned a lot from the guy. But anyway, he remembers 1998, and we both looked at the price of oil today, and it's ready to pop over $70 a barrel, okay? Now, if that oil pops over that particular number right there because there's a crisis of some kind, the American economy is over. I'm going to tell you right now. And it could be a black swan event, like I just said, something that you never thought of that happens overseas. The Suez Canal or Iran or, some unforeseen event that's going to drive oil, $150, $200 a barrel. Now, that's not going to happen. Don't ever say something that can't happen. People have heart attacks every day. People have strokes every day. People get into car accidents every day. All right, these are events that are unforeseen, but only maybe a few can see them coming. And maybe I don't know a lot about 1998, but perhaps that could be something that's related to a possible black swan event, whereas we have a crisis and our economy is over. You know what I'm saying? Namely, with oil.
Well. Let me respond to that. You're right in your general definition of a black swan event, and the reason they occur has to do with the fact that the vast majority of people on Wall Street and the money junkies, they indulge in wishful thinking or magical thinking, and they don't want to look at the possible downsides because they're enjoying the rush to the top too much. A good example of that, of course, would be the downfall of Enron, where it just like they could do no wrong, and there was all this money pouring on in, and then it all fell apart in just a very, very short while. That's a classic black swan event. And you're right. Our economy right now is very, very fragile. It is crippled by way too much debt. It is crippled by the trade imbalance, which Trump's trade wars aren't really going to significantly change, just like the few jobs that he's arranged to create are just a drop in the bucket against our total unemployed population. But yes, if there's a regional war in the Middle East, oil is going to go right through the roof. There are going to be shortages, and anything that depends on oil, heating the homes, the trucks that deliver produce to the stores, the aircraft in the skies, they're all going to be economically hit by it.
Exactly. So my final point would be, hope for the best. How does it go again? Hope for the best. I sound like President Bush, don't I?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, his mother died today. Well,
I know. We were going to talk about that later in the show.
Okay, we could do that. But listen, how does it go? Pray for the best, hope for the...
Hope for the best and plan for the worst.
Okay, that's the best thing we could do. For everybody on an individual basis, and I hope they hear our voices, you know, and that's, and there's, you know, you wouldn't be wasting your time, by preparing, because, you know, by preparing, that preparedness can always be used, utilized, right? So, anyway.
Absolutely. You know, as we head into what seems to be a global war, there are going to be shortages of things. Now's the time to start stockpiling. If you're not a prepper yet, you should be. Because, again, if you know anybody who was around in World War II, there's fewer and fewer of them, just ask them, what was life like here in the United States during the war years? And you'll get an idea of what you're going to have to deal with.
You know, Michael, real quick before we go, my father told me about his mother. When his mother was a little girl, they were going through the Depression, and they had cans of Hormel hash, I think, hash, and something else. Yeah, cans of that in the basement, and it was like gold for them. They were able to eat, you know. I mean, could you imagine this reality that, you know, it can become reality, and, you know, people, oh, that just can't happen, or, you know, that's just never going to happen.
Well, those are the people you're going to find eating from the trash dumpsters after things go south.
Exactly. There.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Have a good day.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, and we're going to switch over to the old man who's really the younger man. But what's on your mind today?
Hey, Michael.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about New World Order government plans. And a lot of people, you know, I hear they say, well, they're going to do this or that. I happen to know, about 20 years ago, I had a conversation with an international lawyer who was involved in setting up what they're planning for this New World Order, this One World Government. Her name is Valerie J. McNevin, McNevin, Carlson, Carlson, who's now divorced and goes by the name of just Valerie McNevin. Now, at the time, she was told, the people that she worked for told her to marry the man who ran the FDIC for the Northeast, and his name was Carlson with a K. And she was, basically told to, have a child with this guy and, basically get control of him. And while all of this was going on, they were planning on crashing the economy. And they wanted, because she was told to marry this guy, Carlson, they wanted to crash the FDIC to make sure that nobody got their insurance policy from their bank accounts. And along that time,
okay, I have to interrupt you here. I have to interrupt you here. Every time you call into the show, you come out with all of this stuff that you say is going on, but it's not based on any hard evidence. It's always, I heard it from this person, I heard it from that person,
I have a friend
over at NSA, and you just sort of sit here burning up airtime, and you don't seem to get anywhere. Is there a point to all of this?
I'll get right to the point then. I was trying to tell you a little bit about her background. She said in this one world government, each approved corporation, i.e. like ExxonMobil, Apple, etc., would have the equivalent power of an entire country. Number two, she said each approved NGO would have the equivalent power of an entire country. Now, keep in mind, George Soros has, what, about 30 or 40 different separate individual NGOs?
Yes, he does.
Each approved NGO will have the entire power of an entire country. So George Soros could have as much as one or up to 40 times the power of the United States under this plan that they have. And then after that, she said that in voting that the population, that they would give the population a group of people to vote for, that the people could not come up with their own leaders. They would give you a group of people, you would vote for one of them, and then they would vote for who would represent the population. And when she talked about these corporations having the equivalent power of an entire country, I got mad at her because I said, that's ridiculous. And she said, why? And I said, because governments are supposed to represent people.
Okay, we're going to have to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. Thank you for the phone call. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our
politics. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show and getting on back to the news here. Over in France, Emmanuel Macron I'm wondering what's going on with this guy, because he's done a lot of things recently that have a lot of people wondering if he's drying his hair in the microwave oven every morning. And he came out with a statement saying that the strikes into Syria last Friday solved nothing, but they defend the honor of the international community. So this guy is out there saying that nothing militarily was accomplished. They obviously didn't hit chemical weapons facilities, or there'd be a lot of dead people around them. But it defends the honor of the international community. Honor? The international community, the leaders of all these warring nations, they have no honor. That's ridiculous to even say that. Apparently, Macron came on out and also claimed that he is equal to Putin. And that prompted a Twitter storm of mockery. It was a ridiculous statement for him to make. And then Macron basically came on out and snubbed Theresa May by claiming that he's actually closer to Donald Trump and has a very personal relationship with the U.S. president. And this prompted an article over in The Spectator in Great Britain asking if Macron's vanity presidency is falling apart, and pointing out that his attempts to reinvent himself as a new Tony Blair are failing. Now, getting on back to the ramifications of this increase in tensions between Russia, China, North Korea, the U.S., Europe, so forth and so on, it's already causing problems. And NATO is going to feel the pinch because NATO leases the giant Antonov AN-124 aircraft for the transport of military equipment. The Antonov is the largest cargo plane in the world, and it gets leased all over the world. They'll lease it to take the 12-meter racing yachts down to the America's Cup because there's no other aircraft that can take them with that keel. And NATO has been depending on the Antonov to move their hardware around by air. Now, Russia is saying they're not going to allow the Antonov to be used by NATO anymore. So NATO is now going to have to find some other way to get their weapons around. Of course, they can send them by rail. Somebody sent me a videotape this morning of a railroad crossing in Arizona. Huge, long train going by. Nothing but military hardware on it. But that takes a lot more time. Same thing with sending weapons by sea. It takes more time than air. Russia is now talking about blocking U.S. airlines from crossing its territory. And that's going to have a significant economic impact on airlines that are flying those polar routes. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. care. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.